You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
This is a brief sermon, Book of 2 Kings, and I feel like, you know, this is what the Lord would want us to embrace as we get into a brand new decade, perhaps. Okay, would you turn your Bibles with me for a while? This is in 2 Kings chapter 4. We will be reading from verse 8 down to verse 10. Then after which, we'll jump straight to verse 15 and verse 16. This is an interesting story tucked in your Old Testament, and I just love the display of faith that's basically seen in this story. Now, it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded Elisha to eat some food. So it was as often as Elisha passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly." In verse 10, it says here, "Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. In short, prepare a room for a stranger that whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there or he can stay there." Fast forward to verse 15. And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son and her husband is old." Gehazi was the assistant of the prophet Elisha and was giving information to Elisha about this woman. So Elisha said, "Call her then." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And here's what Elisha said, "Woman, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son." We have three characters here. Of course, the first one, for us just to be able to grasp this story, the first one is a guy called Gehazi, who was an assistant to the prophet Elisha. So the second one is the prophet Elisha, and many of you know, or rather all of you know, who Elisha is. He was the one who gave out an audacious prayer request when he asked the Lord, "Lord, all I want is a double portion of Elijah's spirit." Right? So he wanted to have a double portion of Elijah's spirit, and true enough, we know for a fact that, you know what, Elisha has been an effective prophet, minister of the grace of God. So that's Elisha, Gehazi, and of course, the third person that we're looking at here is the Shunammite woman. The Bible says she is from Shunem. So there was a place called Shunem, and that is what we have here in this story. Some of the things that are said or mentioned about her are this. We understand that she is from a place called Shunem. Not just that, she is also a wealthy woman. Not just that, we understand that she is also a notable woman. But guess what? We do not know her name. All we know is that she is the woman from Shunem. This is perfect for us today in a sense that we're not looking at a personality, but we're looking at a simple person and a life to follow as God's people. Okay, a life that has basically been modeled for every single one of us. The thing with this anonymous, unheralded, unnamed woman in the Bible is that we would understand that she was a recipient of a twofold restoration. Now, I would assume, and I think it would be safe for me to say, that all of us here at one point in our life have lost something along the way. For some of you, you've lost perhaps a dream, you've lost a career. For some of you, you've lost your integrity, you've lost your dignity. For some of you here, you've lost money, you've lost things along the way. And that is understandable for me to assume that, because as a believer, I want us to understand that we contend with the evil one whose only goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. But this story here gives us a picture of a woman wherein she has received favor from the Lord through the prophet Elisha, and yet, this testimony was garbage at one point. She lost that which she has received from God. And a wonderful thing here is that God restored it to her. Who among you here understands and embrace the fact that the God that we worship, not in concept, but in reality, that the God that we worship is the God who restores? The God that you worship is the God who redeems, and He is the God who restores. I am so thankful that I worship a God who is like that. Because if I look at myself in the mirror and understand how sinful, how filthy I am from the inside out, I would realize that I thank my God that He is a restorer, because apart from that fact, then He would have eradicated me from the face of this earth. So the first thing that I want us to understand here is that God, not in concept, but in reality, in practical ways, is the God who restores. Bible teaches us that God is a God who could restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I don't know, friends, what you've lost along the way. I don't know what you've lost this year. I don't know what you've given up, what was taken away from you. But I want you to understand that God does not take these things sitting down. In fact, Bible teaches us that vengeance is from the Lord. Every time we start talking about restoration, restoration is the act of what? Returning something to its former and original condition. I'm not an engineer, I'm not an architect, but isn't it right that a lot of times it's easier to just come up with a new one than to restore an old one? A lot of times a renovation work becomes more costly compared to just putting up a new one. So restoration is like that. That's why I was telling you a while ago, I praise God, I thank Him that He is the God who restores. Because He is a God who's more than willing to what? To get Himself dirty. In fact, clothe Himself with flesh and blood. I understand one thing about restoration. I realize that restoration is costly. Restoration is costly. An exclamation point to that is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in order for Him to restore the broken relationship that we have with Him, He needed to go to the extent of what? Having Himself on heels of Calvary. Restoration is costly. And if you're here today, and I hope and pray that this will encourage you. If you're here and you're asking the Lord for weeks or months now or for years now, you're telling God, or perhaps this is a secret prayer because you were a person who was a secret pain. And you're telling the Lord, Lord, I hope You get to restore my joy. You get to restore my health. You get to restore my marriage, the broken relationships. I want you to understand this. All the great men in the Bible are restored men. So I want you to understand, that no matter how your life have fallen apart, God, that those things do not catch God by surprise. All the great men, the great characters in the Bible are restored men. So meaning to say, God can do a restoration work in your life. Amen. It makes me confident because I stand on the fact that basically tells me that we are all products of God's mercy and God's grace. And I hope and pray that as we get into a brand new decade, a brand new year, I hope and pray we will understand that. That we will always move in the mercy and the grace of God. Here's the story it says here in verse 9. And she said to her husband, look now, let's put an endearment to them. Let them call each other sweetheart. Look now, sweetheart. I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, sweetheart, let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. Airbnb. Kumpleto yan, ha? May lamp, may table, may chair. It's no ordinary room because her request was to make it as excellent as it could be. For whom? For stranger friends. For someone that they do not know personally. So it will be that whenever it comes to us, he can turn in there. She was like saying, let's fix the house, sweetheart. For a stranger. For someone that they're not related with. So obviously, we get to understand that a Shunammite woman here saw something that we have to see. So because of that, we understand she received favor from Elijah because of her kindness. We understand that. It says here in verse 13, and he said to him, Elijah said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. In return, what can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? The Shunammite woman answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, then what is it that you want me to do for you? In return for all of this kindness. It is true that this is a story of kindness. I'm not undermining the fact that she received favor from Elisha because of her kindness to him. But I want us to look at verse 9. It says here, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. I want us to imagine this for a while. How many people pass by Shunem every day? That she has discerned that out of the thousands of people that pass by Shunem, this man, sweetheart, that man is different. There's something about that man. I want you to understand this. That is called discernment. Guess what? You only discern the things of God if you walk deeply with God. The first thing that I want us to understand about the Shunammite woman is the fact that it gives us a picture that the reason why she was able to blurt out and say that this is a holy man from God is the very fact that she herself is a woman of God. You folks want to discern the will of God for 2020? Walk deeply with the Lord. You guys praying for clarity? Walk deeply with the Lord. She was able to discern that there's something about this man right here. She perceived that this is no ordinary man. That this is no ordinary man because she made a good judgment out of her discernment. It brought about what? Restoration in her life. Catch it? Without that discernment, might not have that restoration. Because of the discernment, which is a result of her walking deeply with the Lord. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Everybody say regularly. He passes by us regularly. Here's the thing in the Old Covenant. The manifest presence of God sometimes are brought by men of God. So meaning to say, prior to these verses, she has already invited Elisha to dine with them. I want us to understand this. The truth of the matter is, she is not fixated with Elisha. It's not like many of us or all of us that we idolize celebrity preachers and celebrity pastors, that we forget about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are so fixated with the life of the preacher, the life of the pastor. But here, truth of the matter is, she's not fixated with Elisha. You know why? She is fixated with what Elisha brings, which is the very presence of God. So every time that they would have lunch, she is always amazed with what this man brings on the table, which is, like what he said, the presence of God. She wanted her husband to put a room. You know why? Because she doesn't want a visitation. She wants the presence of God to linger in their home. She's not satisfied with trickles of grace. She's not satisfied with becoming a Sunday Christian. She's not satisfied in just sitting under the preaching of a preacher and then go live your way, you live your life. She wanted more of the presence of God. She wanted to build a small room. You know why? It's not about the man. It's what he brings with him. It's the peace that he brings with him every time he's with us. It's the joy that he brings with him every time he's with us. That's why she wanted her husband to put a room for this stranger. She was essentially saying, Lord, don't just pass me by. Stay in our home. Linger in our home. I don't want a visitation from you, God. I want you to stay in her very home. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, that it says here that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It has always been my prayer not to turn you folks into theological juggernauts. That is not the goal. The goal is for you to get into your word and love God with everything that you have. And it happens this way. If we diligently seek Him, Bible says He rewards those who diligently seek Him. You know what the reward is? You don't know? You want to know what the reward is if you diligently seek Him? His presence. I hope and pray you get to fight for your devotions, your quiet time this 2020. Like when I say fight, you fight for it. That you will carve out a time to be able to do that. At the end of the day, you cannot tell God, Lord, I don't have time. You know why? Because you always have time for your Twitter. We always have time for something that is valuable to us. If your relationship with God is valuable to you, then make time for the Lord because He is waiting. Verse 15 to 16, it says here, so He said, call her. When He had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then He said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. She knew a woman didn't tell that. He didn't ask for that. But Elisha, being a prophet, thought, there's a cry in the heart of this person. So it was like saying, okay, at this time, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. What do you catch here? God, through Elisha, didn't say, at this time next year, you will have a son. I want you to understand this. When God gives us a promise, He makes sure it is so tangible. There's always tangibility in the promises of God. When He promises you something, it's not empty words. When He says He's gonna do it, guess what, friends? He will do it. I don't know with you, but this is the God that I serve. This is how I know who God is. That Elisha would use the word embrace. You know why? Because there's tangibility in that. There's an aspect of relationality into it. An aspect, a sense of tangibility in His promises. And here's what happened. The woman conceived and bore a son. I love this. When the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, verse 17 tells us that yes, indeed, she had a son. And here's what happens. And the child grew. Now, it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. Ooh, what's happening here? The time interval between verse 17 and verse 19 is quite long. It gives us a picture that in verse 18, he has already grown to the point that he could already be what? He could already be of use in the household. He was no longer a baby. So while he was going out there to be of help to his dad, suddenly he shouted, my head, my head. Oops. Bigyan na may phenomic acid yan. Masakit ang ulo. But this is no ordinary headache. This is no ordinary headache. Because it says here, so he said to his servant, his father said, hurry, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon. And then, I thought, Lord, this was your gift. Your gift is dead. Is this all false hope? A testimony that has actually died. So I've shared this testimony to the church, and then this happens. So what am I gonna say now? That si Lord is tagabawi ng gift niya? Because the Bible teaches us that He actually died. Verse 18, the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And this is interesting because the enemy will try to reap right when we are about to reap. You know why? It was a time in his life that he's going to be of use to his parents. And here comes the devil stealing a great destiny yet again. I want to share with you a story. This was like 11 years ago. My wife and I were helping some Korean friends learn English. So my wife would sit down with a guy called Aaron. There were two of them. I forgot the name of the other one. But Aaron at that time was 19 years old, very fun-loving person. Problem is, he can't speak English. There was a time that he had a session with Rian, and after which I opened one-to-one booklet with him. I would tell him many things about God, and then he would ask me, okay, what is God? I was like, okay. So this is more difficult than I thought it would be, so I have to explain to him who God is. And then that session, just looking at one page of the one-to-one booklet, we ended talking about that for 2 hours. So I told him, okay, I feel like I want to preach the gospel to him, but I thought, here's what we're going to do. You know, we're both tired. Next week, let's meet on the same day, on the same time. I'm going to teach you what these things mean. And I was pretty excited with what's going to happen to this person. Perhaps he's going to surrender his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I perceive it. A week after, I didn't meet the guy. You know why? Because he died while swimming in Siquijor. Here's a man whose life was about to change. And suddenly, as we understand, we were not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities of this world. Destiny lost. I grieved over the fact that I didn't preach the gospel to him with urgency. I want you to understand, 10 years, 11 years ago, that has really changed my life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is what happened to this young man right here. And verse 21, let me be quick on this one. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now look at this one. A lot of times when trouble comes our way, we could take what comfort with or model with how the Shunammite woman faced these things instead of being so panicky about the situation. He simply brought his dead gift to the place where she received this gift. It's short of saying, Lord, you have given this. I know that you can restore this. To take back what you've lost, you simply go back to where you've lost it. Basically laid it before God with faith, basically telling that God is the God who can restore. If you're here today, perhaps this is a message for you. If you're here and your hopes and dreams, relationships have fallen apart, my encouragement for you is this one. Don't bury it just yet. Lay it before the Lord and see how God can miraculous things to happen in our lives. Verse 22, and she called her husband and said, send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again. And he said to me, sweetheart, why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. Here's what she says. She said, all is well. That's not the idiot's game. She simply says, all is well. You know what those words mean? 3 words telling her husband, God is in charge. God is in control. God is sovereign. Friends, 3 p.m. service, your problems, no matter how big, will never dethrone God. Never will your problems intimidate the God who creates everything. I hope and pray you get to have those words resonate in your soul. For some of you, you've been a Christian for quite some time now. You've been hearing that over and over again. I hope and pray that this time around, this gets into your very bones. And understand that your problems do not intimidate God. That He is in control. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her husband, urge the animal on. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And here's what happens. Here's the restoration that happened. And I love this. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on the couch. Here's what happens. He went in, shut the door on two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Here's what I want us to understand. Bible teaches us that there's a problem right in front of him. And the problem is what? A lifeless gift from the Lord. You know what he did? Went inside, closed the door behind him, and prayed to the Lord. You know why? Because I want us to understand that a lot of times you need to shut the door behind you. You need to turn off your Facebook. You need to turn off all the negativities, all the options around you, and just be with God Himself. When was the last time He closed the door behind you? To be with the Lord. When was the last time you turned off your notifications to be with the Lord? Of course, we know what happened. The boy actually lived. But it says here, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. Here's the restoration of your gift. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. And then she took her son and went out. Boy sneezed 7 times. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son, here's her second restoration, whose son had been restored to life, saying, Shunammite woman, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. And furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to this saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Bible says, this was a story of a famine. A famine looks like this. So here's my question to everyone. Does your marriage look like this? Does your career look like that? Your grades look like that? Does your confidence look like that? Is that how you see your future? Perhaps the most important question is, does your spiritual life look like that? This coming decade, if you are now in a season of famine, and in the coming decade, you might get into a season of famine, here's my prayer for you. My prayer is that you will not despise this season because it is a necessary season. You know why? Because it leads us to desperation. That's what we call the law of reduced options. That you have nowhere else to go but right smack in the heart of God. And what I love about, if you read scriptures, you'd come to understand that God guarantees reception to those who approach Him in desperation. That's why the Bible says God is close to the brokenhearted. Here's what famine does to us. Famine purges us out of our self-reliance. It exposes our idols. In the season of famine, your idols are surfaced for you to be able to deal with them. To do something about your idols. That's what famine does to us. 2 Kings chapter 8 verse 1, it says here, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. NIV says, for God decreed a famine to come upon the land. If you get into these moments in your life, I hope and pray that this will make you desperate to run to God. But do not settle for the manna. Here's what I love about God. He could decree famine, but He will provide the manna. But friends, sometimes we embrace the manna without understanding that the manna is for the wilderness. What we are destined for is a land flowing with milk and honey. Do not despise the Lord during these times of your life. As you get into a new decade, a brand new year, I hope and pray that we will be people who will praise God in the high times or low times of our life. I hope we will be people who will adore and worship God in plenty or in lack. Na hindi tayo masaya pag may pera lang. Na pwede tayong kausapin pag wala tayong pera. Na hindi mainit ang ulo natin. In the mountains and in the valleys, in plenty or in lack, we will praise God. Amen. Always wear a garment of praise. We will be people who will stop whining, stop complaining, stop comparing, and start praising God. we're going to end. It says here, it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. So after 7 years, she went back. Everything was taken away from her. It's been 7 years. Lost her house. And I want you to understand, years prior to this, she lost her son. Now she lost her house. She lost her property. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. Tell me, please, all the great things that Elisha has done. Now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life. And there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king. What a coincidence. No, this is God's orchestration. For them to be together in the courts of the king? Could this be coincidence? No. This is the orchestration of God. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. And so the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers, and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land up until now." A recipient of a double anointing, a double restoration. What is there that God cannot restore if your deepest need is what He has already restored?
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.